Welcome aboard. Thanks for tuning in. It's TMP 211. It is September 21st, 2017. Fall is setting in on us, people. At least if you are up here in the northern hemisphere. I know we have had a couple listeners down under before in Australia, so I guess it's like spring over there. But it's starting to progress into 2017. We're starting to get into fall, starting to get into the thick of the UFC's fall schedule. Loving that. Going to be breaking down all sorts of cards here with my boy, Sweet Pappy Jones. P Money, how's it going, man?
Big Jake, oh, we're chilling, sir. It is a wonderful Wednesday out here in the Southern California deserts. We're even getting a little bit of fall action here, believe it or not. Not too bad out during the day, actually. Not sweating at night. So it's going very lovely over here. Got a lot of ground to make up, I believe. It's been a few days, you could say, since we've done our last podcast. So we got a lot to recap and a lot to look forward to. Always excited to be back here doing it with you and bringing some hot MMA takes to the fans.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've been on. A lot of crazy things going on over there. We're with both of us, really. Your boy here in Florida getting hit with all sorts of tornadoes. But we are dry. The weather has passed, even though we have a couple storms brewing out there. Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Jose. We've already had Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. Now, definitely, if you can, find a good charity and throw a few dollars their way if you can. All of that wildness going with all four of those storms. But we will try and take your mind off of it. Put your mind on what really matters, mixed martial arts. And yeah, Pat, you mentioned it's been a while. This is only the second show we've done this month in September, a little behind, so we don't want to dawdle on it too much, but we did want to touch very, very briefly on Amanda Nunes retaining her belt, that Johnson Borg card, the main event, getting moved to UFC 216, which will be early next month. Amanda Nunes defending her belt, Rafael Dos Anjos looking good. That was a fun UFC 215 card. Your boy, Little Heathen, lighten up that front leg of Gil Melendez. What did you really, really quickly before we talk about the card last weekend, Rockhold Branch, what did you make of that pay-per-view card all the way out in Western Canada up in Edmonton at the Rogers Place, home of the Oilers? What did you make of that whole main card? It was going to be a double title title main card, but we only got one. And I think both of us were leaning Shevchenko, but Amanda Nunes pulling out the split decision. I really do think those are the best two women right now at 135. And both of their fights have been razor close. The first one obviously only went three rounds. Nunes won. I think most people think if it would have gone five, Shevchenko would have won. And this one went five. A lot of people had it for Nunes. A lot of people had it for Shevchenko. It was a split decision. So this, if any fight right now screams needing a trilogy, this is probably it. I don't know if we'll see it immediately, obviously, because Shevchenko, like all title fight losers, will probably get moved to the back of the line and not get an immediate rematch, as the controversy of this decision didn't seem to be enough to warrant a rematch. But, yeah, this was a close fight, and I really think both of these women are skill-wise above the rest of the entire bantamweight division, and we will eventually see a trilogy fight. What did you make it about, Pat?
Yeah, it was definitely a very close bout. You would really have to go back and watch very intently to discern a clear winner for that one, I think. I mean, at least for me, I was, by the end of that fight, it wasn't the most action-packed fight for myself. It was a very deliberate pace. It was a good job by both fighters. You know, Amanda Nunes did very well doing what she needed to do, and Valentina Shevchenko, she did the best she could overcoming the big size disparity. I did not think it would be that wide between Amanda and Valentina, but Amanda definitely seemed to be much larger in all respects, just frame-wise, as well as mass inside the cage. I mean, Valentina herself, she looked very, very ripped, but Amanda, much larger frame, and skill-wise, you know, they're both very well-rounded mixed martial artists, so it was a super close fight. I would have to go back personally and really see who I thought won that one. I was not surprised when they gave it to Amanda. You know, it goes back to the old adage, you have to beat the champ to be the champ, and that was such a close fight. I know Valentina had talked about protesting it afterwards, but I don't know if it really needs to come to all that. But then again, I don't know. I need to go back and rewatch it because, you know, you would think, hey, if you did win the fight, the judges would be able to accurately render who won that one. I wasn't super upset with the decision anyways. It was a good card leading up to that, especially on the main card. Jeremy Stephens, you know, my boy Lil Heathen, he's got a soft spot in my heart, and he did a great job, great performance as underdog, as he per usual is, but man, he quieted the storm of El Nino with those leg kicks, those brutal leg kicks. We had seen the pictures Gilbert Melendez's wife had tweeted out a couple days afterwards, still just, oh my goodness, bruised up from top to bottom of the left leg. Great performance. Henry Cejudo doing a good job restating his self at the flyweight division. Big TKO over Wilson Hayes in the second round. Good action. Dos Anjos getting a finish over Magny as well in the first round. A lot of good pay-per-view action for 215.
And that brought us to this past Saturday, UFC Fight Night 116 in Pittsburgh. A little fun middleweight card there in your main event, Luke Rockhold and David Branch, who had been on a very impressive tear. I think he won 13 in a row, including a bunch of title defenses over in World Series of Fighting. A streak finally came to an end with Luke Rockhold submitting him with punches in the second round. I thought David Branch was a live dog. I knew Rockhold was probably going to win this fight, and Luke went out there and very, very much proved that he was the faster man, the stronger man, and the more skilled when it came down to it. Got David Branch to tap from punches and looked really good in there. Mike Perry, originally supposed to fight his teammate Thiago Alves, Thiago ended up staying home to take care of his family during and after Hurricane Irma. So instead of having Thiago Alves fight Mike Perry, they had the up-and-coming Alex Reyes, who wasn't a bum himself, to step in, fight in the co-main event. But he got KO'd in the first round with a knee. Mike Perry, man, just very, very explosive. I will watch any of his fights. Can't decide if I absolutely hate him or absolutely love him. He is that annoying guy who taunts his opponents and walks around like a chicken after a brutal knockout. And I could see very, very easily why, if you love him or hate him. But Mike Perry getting work done there in the octagon at welterweight. What else? We had Hector Lombard losing to Anthony Smith, Gregor Gillespie and Jason Gonzalez in a very entertaining fight of the night that ended in a Gregor Gillespie second round arm triangle joke sub. I know everyone's ears perked up when I said Gregor, not Connor, Gregor Gillespie, even though he is a lightweight. If he ended up, I don't know if he has the skills to do it, but it would be funny if we saw him rise up and get a title shot, Gregor versus McGregor. Kamaru Usman, this is a guy, speaking of guys who might eventually rise up to a title fight, I'm saying watch out for Kamaru Usman. This dude is still young, still in his 20s, the Nigerian nightmare. Fighting out of the Black Zillions camp, used to be a D2 wrestler, has that freestyle wrestling base, fights orthodox, I like that, and the guy's 11-1, absolutely been dominant since beating Haider Hassan in the tough 21 finale. Since winning that fight, including that fight, he's 6-0. And KOing Sergio Moraes, a very, very game Sergio Moraes, in the first round. I think we're going to see him get a test next. Not that Moraes wasn't, but we are going to see him fight a pretty recognizable person next. I want to check the rankings real quick, and as always, I don't have it pulled up. But right now, Usman has moved up to 12 on the welterweight list. A lot of fun fights around there. Ponzinibbio, Magny, Nelson, Dong Young Kim. Mike Perry now cracking the welterweight rankings at 15. So I'm liking that exciting young talent in at welterweight. What else do we have on that fight? Anything else? Pretty boring fight between Justin Ledet and my new favorite name in the UFC, Zhu Anawayu. Or Anianwu. Zhu Anianwu. Fucking love that name. Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Wins a split decision. Uriah Hall and Gilbert Burns looking back to their old impressive selves. Couple second round finishes. Watch out. Hall against the classically underrated Christophe Jotko. Gilbert Burns against a underrated Jason Sago. Watch out for these guys. That's all I got for UFC Rockhold Branch. I know we don't usually do it that way, but we're mixing it up. We're trying new things. We're doing experimentations here on TMP 211. Pat, what did you think of UFC Fight Night Pittsburgh Rockhold Branch?
Oh, boy. UFC Fight Night Pittsburgh Rockhold Branch started off very strong, and it very rarely let up. I mean, as you mentioned, Gilbert Burns, solid second round KO over Jason Sago. Uriah Hall overcoming some adversity in the first round over Christophe Jotko. Jotko had him rocked and hurt early. Looked like he was going to finish that fight. Was unable to. Uriah Hall, man, what a fighter. Just rebounded, regrouped in between. Came out strong in the second round. Got that TKO. Daniel Spitz, I want to say it was his UFC debut. His second fight in the UFC, perhaps. Anyways, he got a 24-second TKO over Anthony Hamilton. Very nice job there. Daniel Spitz, I want to say he was coming in 6'7", very tall, heavyweight, and he was able to drop Hamilton with a nice right, just barely caught him, and put him on the ground, followed up with some nice ground and pound. Good showing there. Very close fight. Moving on to the lightweight division between, as you mentioned, Opon Mercier and Tony Martin. Good showing there. Ledet versus Zhu Anianwu. That should not have been a split decision. I don't know how that was a split decision. I don't even know how any judge scored that 29-28. That was, to me, a very clear 30-27 for Justin Ledet. Not a ton of action, but hey, both these guys definitely good prospects of the heavyweight division. Good striking capabilities for both of them. A lot of respect for each other in that one, I think. And Kamaru Usman just kind of, he hit Sergio Moraes so hard. He almost, what was it? He like somersaulted in that one. He hit him with this uppercut and he tumbled over. Usman wasn't even sure if he should follow up with the punches. I think he landed like one hammer fist after that, and then the ref just dove in for the stop. Very good. Very good showing for Usman. As you mentioned, Jake, just on a tear since winning the Ultimate Fighter. Moraes himself, since his Ultimate Fighter days, I want to say, actually, his only loss was to, in the UFC prior to this fight, was to Cesar Mutanch on the Tough Brazil finale. And then he went 6-0-1 leading up to this fight. So he was on a 6-fight win streak with just the one draw coming in here. Have been doing very well for himself. Good scrap. And, I mean, of course, really, Gregor Gillespie versus Jason Gonzalez. That was just fantastic in the lightweight division. Both throwing everything. Gregor, much vaunted for his wrestling, showing some good striking as well. He had a lot to overcome in that fight with Jason Gonzalez. 6'2" in the lightweight division. Had a much larger guy to deal with. Gonzalez was swinging those head kicks, caught him a couple times, it seemed. And that led Gillespie to go back to his wrestling roots, really incorporate that into his striking. He had some good, Gillespie had some good striking sequences in there as well. Good elbows, good punches as well. Just great back and forth. These guys are really throwing it all at each other. Gillespie ended up getting a arm triangle starting from the mount. Really had some great mount work there. Great scrap. It was great overall. Smith TKO on Lombard late in the third. Lombard seemed like he might have the judge's decision going his way, but Anthony Smith rebounded, got some good momentum, got the stoppage. And then Perry over Reyes, that was a pure manhandling. Perry came in there looking very strong. And I want to say Reyes was actually a lightweight 155-pounder, supposed to be a good prospect, but just didn't cut, fighting at welterweight, making his UFC debut. Bless his heart. Perry just bullied him early, finished him with some strong clinch work, some good knees, elbows, punches, put him down very quick. And Rockhold versus Branch for the main event did not disappoint either. David Branch came out very strong in the first round, had Rockhold hurt pretty bad early with a sequence of punches. Branch did pretty well to get in there and try and get the finish, but just couldn't do it. Rockhold was able to weather the storm and came out refreshed for the second round, was able to regain his composure, eventually got the tap out due to punches. I want to say he was kind of riding the back there, ended up just hammer fist and ground and pounding, and Rockhold rebounding nicely himself, getting back into the win column. Good scraps all the way around. I mean, I definitely say I enjoyed it a little bit more than 215, actually, in spite of Lil Heath and getting the W on 215. The Rockhold versus Branch card, just great knocks all the way around.
Yeah, a lot of fun scraps there. I was almost afraid a lot of those fights were overlooked because that Canelo-Golovkin card, that Alvarez GGG card, went on the same time as the main event or the main card of UFC Pittsburgh. I think it was odd. Floyd and Connor, when they fought, I think the walkouts they did were more like close to midnight. And East Coast, Alvarez and Golovkin were walking out around 10:50, I think, which the main card of this UFC started at 10. So we were maybe not even halfway into the main card, and all of a sudden you have this Triple G Canelo fight going, which I don't even want to give it credence. If you did follow it, it was a very close fight. Most people gave it to Golovkin. Ended up being scored a draw because Adelaide Bird is either incompetent at judging or corrupt taking paychecks, because she scored it 10-2 Alvarez, an incomparable score, tilting it from a Golovkin win to a draw. Sadly, so we're going to see a rematch, which means more money for everyone, which means, I don't know, is she terrible at her job or is she corrupt? That's for you to decide, not me. Plus, there are these laws that exist about defamation and all that I can't speak to a person's character, that to which I do not know. So we're not going to get into it here. But yeah, it was just a shame for boxing. I can't even call it a win for MMA either, really, because you know I'm a fan of combat sports. I want to see boxing and MMA succeed, and this was yet another slap to the face. Just, I mean, this was even worse than the Pacquiao Bradley screw job, which, guess who that was? Adelaide fucking Bird. This was worse because this was, you know, even more of a spec. This was a bigger fight. So I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but we talked about it. And I think after that, we should just move on. Actually, I wanted to pose one more question to you before we get on from UFC Fight Night Pittsburgh. Who next for Luke Rockhold. He lost his belch to Michael Bisping, obviously, and took a lot of time off. I believe he took, how much time off? That was a year and 3 months. You know, he was supposed to fight Jacare late last year, but the pairing was canceled a few weeks before the fight because Rockhold had an undisclosed injury. So now apparently he's calling out Michael Bisping. I don't think he's going to get that fight unless GSP backs out of it. He wants Bisping. Looking at the rankings, he probably, I mean, they, it was funny, they were doing this thing earlier tonight on UFC Tonight when Rockhold was on with Daniel Cormier and Kenny Florian. He's like, I'll fight fucking anyone, blah, blah, blah. I hope GSP backs out because I really want you, Mike, and this and that and this and that. And then they did a fan poll about who the fans wanted to see him fight. I believe it was, I believe the choices were either Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, or Yoel Romero, and everyone picked Yoel Romero, and Rockhold's standing there with the opportunity to talk shit about Yoel Romero, and he was just kind of quiet, just like, yeah, you know, I'll fight anyway. Dude, nobody wants to fucking fight Yoel Romero. But I think that makes the most sense right now, if you have Bisping and Whitaker as your champion and interim champ. Whitaker, I guess, is on the shelf until early next year is the news. He got, like, needed some surgery or something. He can't fight. So he's waiting for the winner of Bisping GSP. And that's how that's going to work out for the next few months. So in the meantime, while we're waiting on Bisping and GSP and Whitaker, Rockhold and Romero, I feel like the next best two middleweights in the world. You got Rockhold Romero, you got Jacare, you got Weidman, you got Anderson, you got Derek Brunson, you got Kelvin Gastelum, who I hope moves back down to welterweight soon. You got Uriah Hall making another run at it. David Branch, who just lost to Rockhold. What match do you make for Luke?
For Luke, really, he's got some tough tests ahead of him. If I'm playing matchmaker, it's either Yoel Romero, which to me, honestly, I would like to see that match, but I don't know that it makes a ton of sense. Luke Rockhold, he's back in the winning circle. Yoel Romero coming off a loss right now. I would almost like to see, since Bisping is going to be taking on GSP, I believe is what they're officially doing, I would like to see Luke Rockhold take on Robert Whittaker as soon as he's ready to come back. I mean, if that's early enough, let's say early 2018, you know, maybe the New Year's kickoff card, something like that, if Whittaker were able to be ready in time for that. But if that fight were not able to be made, I would say, yeah, then put him up against Yoel Romero. That's just, you got to keep the division moving, got to keep these fighters active. If you're going to be the champ again, you're going to have to probably fight Yoel Romero at some point anyway, so might as well just get that one out of the way and solidify your spot as a championship contender again.
Yeah, that absolutely a good point there. I guess that's all we got for Rockhold Branch. Moving on, Rockhold's teammate DC, speaking of a champion, getting the belt back officially with Jones getting stripped. Unclear for Jones as of right now what's next. Some people are saying a 2-year suspension. Some are saying 4-year. I guess it kind of depends if you call this his second or third drug violation. This is his second PED violation, but his third drug violation because he did have that coke test right before UFC 182. So we'll see how that progresses. We'll keep you up to date on all of that. Cormier, though, the official champion again. What else going on? We have Douglas Lima. He's going to take on Rory McDonald at Bellator. What will it be? Do they have? I don't think they have an official number yet for it, but it will be a Bellator MMA card in LA at the Forum, January 20th, and your main event will be champion Douglas Lima against former UFC title challenger Rory McDonald. Which way are you leaning in this one? I'm thinking Rory is going to be holding Bellator gold in LA at the end of the night. What do you think goes down in that main event?
You know, I'm really looking forward to this fight, actually. Douglas Lima, he is a very solid scrapper. He's got good hands. He's got some good jits as well. Rory McDonald, he's just a psychopath in the cage. It's going to be fantastic to see. He's certainly shown flashes of brilliance himself. We look back to his fight with Tyron Woodley, his fight with Damian Maia, what he was able to do overcoming a big first round from Maia, taking the other two, getting a big victory. I mean, he's been in there and fought and beat some of the best. Styles make fights, though. And, man, Douglas Lima, I think with his striking, he's got a really good striking skill set. The type of skill set that may just pose a lot of problems for Rory. Anyways, I'll save any kind of breakdown. But, yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to that one. And, I mean, if you kind of have to pick Rory, I feel, anyways. But I'm certainly not sleeping on Douglas right now. And I'll be looking into this one as we get closer to the date.
Speaking of closer to the date, a guy we haven't seen fight in a while just tweeted, "Yo, Sean Shelby, what up, big guy? I'm wanting to fight in December or January. What say you?" The fighter in question, the Jackson Wink welterweight, Carlos Condit, tweeting, "Wanting a fight soon. About time he's come back." The beast of the 170-pound division has been out for a grip since losing to Damian Maia August of last year. Has slipped a little bit since the Nick Diaz fight, losing unanimous decisions to GSP and Johnny Hendricks. Came back, beat Martin Kamen, then lost with that weird knee injury loss to Tyron Woodley. Beat Thiago Alves, then got a title shot against Robbie Lawler. And it was controversial. Robbie got the split decision. A lot of people thought Condit won that fight. Then he stepped in against Damian Maia, who is somebody who can catch just about anyone. He caught Carlos Condit on the way to earning himself a title shot. Condit's back, and he wants a fight. And there are so many fun fights you could make right now with Carlos Condit. Oh, my God. Imagine Condit Perry. You got, like, the old breed killer at 170 versus the young upstart, the easily hateable Mike Perry. But there's one fight when I was looking through the rankings which just screamed, this would be the ultimate main event banger for the end of the year card. This year, I don't know if it'll be UFC 218 or 219 or what, but how about this for your pay-per-view opener on the December 31st card? Carlos Condit versus Donald Cerrone. How fun would that motherfucker be? There are so many fun fights. Anyone you match him up against would be fun, whether it's Rafael Dos Anjos, Jorge Masvidal, or even shooting on the other side of the rankings, Condit's 7th, Cerrone's 6th, Dos Anjos 5th, Jorge Masvidal 4th, Santiago Ponzinibbio, Kamaru Usman, that would be a fun fight, I was just hyping him up. A lot of potential there, with Condit apparently wanting to get back in it. And Shelby did tweet him back and say he was down to slot him in for a fight in the next few months. So, yeah, I would love to see the Natural Born Killer get back in there soon and tear it up.
As would I. That's always great news to hear. Carlos Condit, certainly one of the best 170-pounders we've seen, even back from the WEC days, certainly carrying over into the UFC, at one point becoming the UFC interim champion. And again, a lot of people say, as you had mentioned, Jake, the controversial decision versus Robbie Lawler, the vast majority of MMA media scored him winning that fight. I know, I thought he won that fight fairly clearly. It was a good fight. It was a war for sure, but I thought Konda had done enough to get the belt from that one. I was very surprised. Should have been undisputed champion, in my opinion. He did have some ups and downs after that, for sure. But good to hear that he is coming back. He had a rough outing his last time against Maya, but there's certainly no shortage of new up-and-comers he can test the water against, be it, you know, a little down on the ladder. I mean, heck, Gunnar Nelson versus Condit, that would be a great fight. Or if you want to, you know, just throw him in the Shark Tank rather quickly, as you imagine. I mean, you got Mike Perry just cracked the top 15, I want to say. Santiago Ponzinibbio, he's on a real run. And, yeah, there's a lot of guys he matches up well with.
Cerrone Kamaru. Condit, though, bro.
Cerrone Condit. Oh, you know what,
I know,
Jake,
they're teammates. I know they're teammates, but I gotta see that. That's just a fight that the MMA gods need to make happen before
it's
we all die.
It's a WEC dream match,
yes,
like that.
It is.
You would never think you would have seen that fight.
I actually went back and, like, 5 minutes ago checked their record just to double check that they didn't fight back in the WEC back in, like, fucking, like, 07 or 08 or something random, and we all forgot about it. But, never scrapped before.
Never scrapped, man. Never scrapped. No, that would be sick.
They're both Jackson
nuts.
Guys, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and have been for forever. I don't know if that fight's going to happen. That would be dynamite, but yeah, gosh, I'd say Condit Ponzinibbio, that sounds good too. I'd like to see that booked.
Yep. A lot of fun possibilities with Carlos Condit. Speaking of Jackson Wink people, we opened our tweet lines up, and we actually got a couple tweets in. Our boy, Conley Razor, always, always good for a thoughtful tweet. Always, always tuning in. One of our great listeners. One of our diamond listeners. Which there are only a few of you, but you know who you are. Conley tweeting in about Holly Holm, wanting us to touch on that. Also, this Cage Warrior card, which we will get to, too. These lesser promotions really have been putting on some incredible shows of late. And I don't want to say the UFC's slacking, because we've had some fun fights, but I haven't seen a UFC event like Cage Warriors 86 in a long time. I'll get to that in a second, though. Holly Holm, there was a familiar name we haven't heard in a while, Ronda Rousey. Her name got put out there recently. Edmund Tarverdian, I think, did an interview. I don't know if he went on the MMA Hour. I feel like that's a majority of the MMA interviews we hear about. But if he went on the MMA Hour or interviewed with somebody. But he said 50-50, Ronda Rousey comes back to fight. Ronda just, I think, recently got married to Travis Brown. A lot of people assumed she would not be coming back after those two devastating knockout losses to Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes. So it was our Nunez, sorry. So it was pretty interesting hearing her coach actually say that she is thinking about coming back and wouldn't mind a fight against Cyborg, which, of course, somebody coming off two losses wouldn't mind a title shot. That idea has kind of been floating around with, I think, the major response to that being, let's not see Ronda Rousey get killed by Cyborg. Even Cyborg herself, who knows she could probably stand to make some cash from a fight against Ronda. I mean, she is a champion, meaning that she probably gets a little pay-per-view cut, a little smidgen of the action. And a fight between her, I mean, honestly, the most lucrative fight she could get into right now is against Ronda. Easy, hands down, not even a question. That's not even arguable. The most Or, I mean, maybe if she fought Floyd, you would see it. But that's not even on the table. But no, her and Ronda is the money fight as far as women's MMA goes. We could see it just because it is the money fight. But even Cyborg herself said, I don't know if I don't know if that's really the fight that I want. I think her agent or manager probably got in her ear and said, stop fucking playing it down. We both could stand and make a few $1 million if you fight Ronda, so let's hype it up, if anything. But it seems more likely that Chris Cyborg's first title defense will come against Holly Holm. That's who Cyborg said she wanted to fight. Holm, she's going to be 36 next month. Like I said, another Jackson Wink fighter. I guess now a featherweight. Her most recent fight was that loss to... her most recent was a win against Bitch Kohea. But before that, losing to Jermaine de Randamie in the inaugural women's featherweight title fight in the UFC. One of the strangest weight classes in the UFC. They've opened it up, I guess. And there have now been two featherweight title fights after the original champ just gave it up, relinquished it, because she wouldn't fight the number one contender, and now Cyborg's the best, but there's still, I guess, technically nobody in the division. I don't know what they're going to do with that. It's so bizarre. It's almost like it's like a open challenge to any 35ers to step up and challenge Cyborg, but there's no one in the UFC I can think of, really, who is a true featherweight. I don't know what they're going to do with that. But Holly Holm seems to be next in line for Cyborg. Cyborg, obviously, would be the favorite there. Holm showed a lot of vulnerability against Valentina Shevchenko and Jermaine de Randamie in 2016 and 2017. Do you think Holm would have a chance fighting Cyborg, or, I mean, obviously she does have, you know, the puncher's chance. Everyone has a chance, but do you think she really has that much a chance against a dominant-looking Chris Cyborg Santos?
Man, that's a very tough question, really, especially with Holly Holm and her last couple fights being up and down. She has been facing some of the toughest women in the world. I mean, Jermaine de Randamie, kickboxing champion, if I'm not mistaken. Same with Valentina Shevchenko. Valentina Shevchenko, who beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk 3 times in kickboxing, who herself is a champion. She's only lost to women who themselves are international striking champions. Chris Cyborg, as big and scary of a featherweight as she is, and as, you know, big and scary as a women's mixed martial artist as she is not a champion striker. She has big power. She wings really heavy shots, and she tends to catch everyone she fights with it sooner or later. But she also has the thing that really makes it tough, and why I lean towards her in this fight, is that she does have such a solid ground game as well. And she does appear to be just one of the physically strongest females fighting in mixed martial arts today. I don't know, even though Holly Holm has seemed to do fairly well with her takedown defense as of late. I mean, she was submitted by Miesha Tate in a fight she was fairly handily winning prior to a 5th round technical submission. So she's fighting, or she would be fighting, a woman who's even larger, potentially stronger, and, you know, pretty well versed in the ground game. Now, Miesha Tate also, she is one of the best grapplers in women's mixed martial arts. But, Cyborg, she's really got the whole package. That would be a tough fight for Holly. But if she's able to avoid the takedown and, you know, use her striking game and just avoid the big shots from Cyborg, I mean, I'd say she's got a chance. I don't know. I would pick her to be the underdog for this fight for sure, but not too large personally.
Yeah, Cyborg, Cyborg definitely, I think, would be a favorite against any woman in the world right now in mixed martial arts. And Conley also tweeted about, yeah, that Cage Warriors 86 card, which, man, I think your main event there was Nathaniel Wood against Josh Reed, Wood being the champion. Reed looked like he was about to take the belt away from Wood, had him wobbled. And it was a night of a lot of back and forth fights, and this maybe was the craziest of all, as Wood looked like he was on roller skates, roars back and gets a round one KO, keeps the belt. I guess that's four in a row now for the champ, Nathaniel Wood, and Cage Warriors 86. I'm not going to lie, I didn't tune into it live and like watch the whole fucking event. I heard it was great and watched the highlights afterwards. And yeah, it looked wild. I'm going to maybe try and make an effort to watch lesser cards in the future. You know, if there's nothing else on, why not put on a Cage Warriors or something of that ilk? Because you really do see a lot of young talent that eventually will be in the big show. And B, you get a lot of cards like this. I feel like, you know, once you're older, more established, you're not really throwing caution to the wind as much as when you're a young buck, a young upstart, and you got a lot of those young guys looking for fame and success in those lower promotions, and you see a lot of absolute wars over there. So thanks, Conley, for tweeting in. And if you want to tweet us a question or a topic anytime, it doesn't need to be the day that like we air. Like, if you tweet us at the MMA podcast a question or a topic you want us to cover or anything, I'll probably favorite it. I'll favorite it and then go back to it the next time we record. And oh hey, all my favorited tweets are the ones that we got to talk about. So tweet me, leave a voicemail if you want. The number is 213-457-3380. Gonna start doing the live shows again soon once we get a steady time and more regularity going. Maybe open up the phone lines from time to time. But yeah, tweet us, the MMA podcast, like your boy Conley did, and we will talk about whatever y'all want to talk about. Saying y'all over here because I'm a southerner. So I guess all we got now is this weekend cards on Friday night and Saturday night. Usually when I say that, the Bellator cards, your Friday night, and your UFC is your Saturday night. This weekend it's switched. UFC is doing a Friday night card. Same starting time as most cards. I believe the main card's going to kick off at 10 p.m. Your prelims and main card on FXX. Not Fight Pass, not Fox, not Fox Sports 1, not Fox Sports 2, not Fuel, not the Oxygen Channel, FX, not FX, but FXX. So hopefully you have FXX. I haven't even checked. So hopefully I don't have to go over to a friend's house who has direct TV or something else, or I don't have to bootleg fights to watch the UFC, but yeah, it'll all be on FXX, like I said, Friday night, because they're doing it over in Japan. A lot of familiar names, if you're an old head, know a lot of fighters who have been around for a while, fought in Pride and Dream and all those sorts of organizations. Your Takanori Gomis, your Mizuto Hirotas, your Hussier Formigas. A fun card though. We're seeing Gokhan Saki make his UFC debut, which, if you don't know about the Turkish Tyson, look up a highlight reel from him, because, the dude can bang. Takanori Gomi fighting the other Dong Young Kim, which I guess that's what we gotta call him now. It sucks for him, but there's two Dong Young Kims. One is the incredibly underrated stun gun, the welterweight, who has a lot of impressive wins and seems to only lose to like the best of the best. And then you got this lightweight who was also named Dong Young Kim. I don't know if we want to call him Dong Young Kim 2 or the other Dong Young Kim. But Dong Hyun Kim 2 is taking on Takanori Gomi. And then your co-main event, Claudia Gadelha versus Jessica Andrade, which I give Jessica Andrade all the talent in the world, but I think Claudia Gadelha is the most clear-cut number two at their weight class in the UFC. She's above and beyond everyone else at strawweight, not named Yanni and Jacek. We'll save the main event for its own talking point, talk about who we got in that one. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. We got Hong Yu Lim randomly on the single UFC Fight Pass fight before we get into the prelims at 8 Eastern and the main card at 10 o'clock Eastern. But yeah, a lot of familiar names. We got Tarotu Ishihara on the second fight of the main card. I love all my beaches! I think I might be most psyched, though, about seeing the kind of terror Gokhan Saki can unleash in the octagon. If it's anything like his career kickboxing, we're in for some fun shit at 205, and that's an understatement. What do you make of this UFC Fight Night 117 Japan card?
Jake, I'm psyched to the max for this card. First of all, it's a rare Friday card that I think is actually going to be good. They're doing it at Saitama Super Arena. It's got a bunch of...
Classic venue.
It's got a lot of great names. I mean, Takanori Gomi versus Dong Hyun Kim 2 on the main card. That's going to be fantastic. I got a feeling that's probably going to be Gomi's last fight. I feel like that's... It probably should be.
Dude,
Gomi... He's been around the block for a little bit. I mean, I want to say his fight with Diaz and Pride was about 12 years ago.
Fireball kid ain't a kid no more.
He is now the Fireball grown-ass man, and that is how he will be announced. Fireball Senior. That's how he's going to be announced walking out to the cage. No, all respect.
Man's 38.
Takanori Gomi, he's a freaking legend in the sport. It's going to be great. It takes me back to the Pride and Dream days, watching those late night cards. But even from the preliminary card on Fight Pass, Hyung Yu Lim taking on Daichi Abe. I'm sure I butchered both of those, but Lim, he's been out for a little while. You know, had a lot of good momentum there. Had a couple rough outings in his last two fights. He's 3-3 overall in the UFC, but he's been out of action for a little over a year now. It'll be good to see him get back in there. We've got a lot of good scraps. I mean, the flyweight division, Hsieh Formiga versus Olga Sasaki on the prelim card, Keita Nakamura versus Alex Morano in the featured bout on the preliminary card on FXX. It should be a lot of good action there. The main card, you know, Mizuto Hirota versus Charles Hossa in the featherweight division. It's just tons of good matchups here. Gokhan Saki, as you mentioned, taking on Enrique Da Silva. Saki is such a beast in the kickboxing ring. Hopefully, for him, that this fight goes like his kickboxing career and not like his mixed martial arts career, although very small sample size, 0-1 as a mixed martial artist. He had a fight back in 04, lost that via TKO. Hopefully, I don't know if that's ground game related or what it may be, but it'll be interesting to see how he comes out here, because he certainly got the potential with his striking game. Ooh, he can make things hellacious for anybody. Going to be a great scrap. I think that one's really one of my most anticipated, and I think a lot of the hardcore fans as well. But then, also, as you mentioned, I mean, Gadelha versus Andrade, these two ladies, super high ranked at 115 pounds. Gadelha, I think I'm right there with you, Jake. She's just nipping at the heels of Ian Jacek, one of the best 115-pounders there is. She's easily got to be the perennial number one behind Ian Jacek. Jessica Andrade, though, this is going to be a very, very good opportunity for her to get back there. I mean, Gadelha's had two shots at Ian Jacek before, and Andrade has only had the one. Andrade and Gadelha, they've got very similar skill sets. They're both very strong, both have good striking, both have very good proficient ground games. Man, that's just going to be a big scrap. I think whoever wins that one makes a solid case for them being the the number one behind Jan Jacek in 115 pounds. I don't even know how to predict that one. I probably have to lean Kadelia just because she has been. I mean, really, her only loss in the UFC has been to Jan Jacek. And Draw, she's had some ups and downs, mostly at 135 pounds, because actually herself in 115 has only lost to Jan Jacek. So, really looking forward to that one. I think I'm going with Kadelia, but man, I certainly would not be surprised if Andrade could pull off the upset. She is truly a beast.
And that brings us to the main event, OSP, who originally was supposed to take on Shogun. Shogun out of the fight, in steps Yushin Okami. What? The guy who got cut from the UFC back in 2013 after losing to Jacare, and everyone was pretty hot over it. Since then, he's fought seven times with a win loss of 5-2, 1-4 in a row. So Yushin Okami is back to fill in last minute for Shogun, and I'm sorry, but I think Okami's gonna get smashed, dude. Okami, very strong and very big for his weight class. He takes advantage of that. And he's fought at middleweight and since leaving the UFC at welterweight. This is a guy who can make 170. This is a guy for 170, incredibly strong, awesome judo, can toss people around. But what's he going to do two weight classes up against a guy who's bigger than him, stronger than him? OSP is a beast, and OSP really only loses to people who can bully him, like a John Jones or a Glover. We recently saw that split to Vulcan. But my point being, I don't really see where Yushin Okami is going to bully OSP around the cage. OSP, a giant favorite in Vegas, -490. Other favorites on the card, including Claudia Gadelia at -280, Dong Young Kim 2, -380, Gokhan Saki, -175, Hung Yu Lim, -125. But yeah, OSP, the biggest favorite on the card for good reason. Okami, I hope we get to see more fights with him back in the UFC down at 85 or 70. But 205, I think this is going to be the first light heavyweight fight of his career. And I hope it's the last, because I don't think OSP is going to just run out and smash him in a second, because Okami is a vet, and Okami is better than that. But OSP, I think, is just going to be too big, too fast, too strong, and going to win the fight that way. Pat, what say you?
Well, Jake, you bring up a lot of great points. I mean, Yushin Okami, first of all, late notice. Hasn't had a whole lot of time. Hasn't had a whole lot of time to prepare for this one. And as you mentioned, this fight is contested at 205 pounds. Yushin Okami has fought at welterweight or middleweight for the majority of his career. I want to say he was fighting at welterweight before he even got into the UFC the first time. So this will indeed be his first fight at 205 pounds. Now, maybe as he's getting older himself, you know, Yushin Okami has been fighting for many a year now, well over a decade. Maybe a move up in weight will benefit him a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how much he actually weighs come fight night. I mean, he is pretty tall. He's 6'2", so he's not going to be coming in there super undersized, at least frame-wise, I would think. And he does have some good fundamentals. He's got, you know, the good jab. He's shown to be proficient with that. He has some good grappling skills as well. So he's certainly no slouch. Was cut from the UFC with a winning record, having been 3-1 in his last four. Was cut after the first loss from a three-fight winning streak after losing to Jacare, which, who doesn't lose to Jacare? But Yushin Okami has been very consistent throughout the majority of his UFC career. Definitely way more wins than he does losses. That was a surprising cut to many. And, you know, I was very surprised that he faltered two times. You know, he lost to David Branch as well as to John Fitch at welterweight. Very surprised by that. As you mentioned, he's rebounded since with four wins. No super notable names in that streak, but OSP has not looked the most amazing since Yushin Okami has been gone from the UFC. Just recently got back into the win column over Marcos Rogério de Lima. Before that, was on a 3-fight losing streak. You know, he's 2-4 in his last six. But as you mentioned, Jake, I think the size difference, just it may be too much for Yushin Okami at this point to overcome. Ovince St. Preux is just a very large guy, 6'4", 205. You know, I want to say he's a purple belt. And he's got some good skills everywhere it goes. I just I don't know. I think technically I'm very torn on this one because I think technically Yushin Okami might actually be a little more sound. I feel like OSP. I don't even know if he'll have the wrestling advantage because I want to say he's a converted football player. Really, I don't know. Just will the size be too much? Man, it's going to be a tough one, but I tell you what, I think I'm actually going with the underdog in this one, Jake. I think,
woo, big underdog too. This ain't big. Just any underdog. This is plus 390. This is 5-1.
I mean, I don't know what it is. It may be foolish, but I can't go back. No, you know what? I can't go back. I was thinking of changing it real quick, you know. Ooh. Screw it. Yushin Okami, short notice, first fight ever at 205 pounds. Comes in, gets the win over OSP. I'm saying it.
Boom. And last topic of the evening, Bellator 183 is going to be our Saturday night entertainment at the SAP Center in San Jose, California. And my question to you, who you got? There are four fights that really matter on that card. Aaron Pico, big favorite, coming back after losing his MMA debut. Fighting Justin Lin. He's a, like I said, a big favorite, I think minus 410. I got Pico in that one. We will see the vengeance of Aaron Pico leading up to him getting a rematch against that guy he lost to eventually one day. That'd be cool. What else? Lorenz Larkin, minus 245, favorite against Paul Daly. I say, Lorenz, you got to watch that chin or else Paul Daly is going to knock you out with that left hook. And that's my pick. I'm taking the underdog, Paul Daly, plus 205, left hook, first round KO. What else we got? Hoy Nelson making his Bellator debut, minus 225. Of course, I'm going with Hoy. Because the guy he's fighting, I've never heard of ever. Jaffe Alaya. It sounds like a catcher for some team in like the NL East. Jaffe Alaya. Never heard of him. And finally, your main event. Benson Henderson versus Pitbull Patrycki Fieri. Benson, the favorite, minus 185. And I will go ahead and roll with him. He's always been one of my favorite fighters. Since back in the WEC when he was mad entertaining and doing all sorts of crazy shit, isn't as entertaining as he once was, but still possesses just a crazy large arsenal of tools to use against his opponents. And I'm always talking about that MMA tool belt, how many tools you got on your MMA tool belt, and guys like Benson have so many different skills. From fighting at range to great submission defense to good balance to good footwork to knowing where you are when you're scrambling, all sorts of good stuff. Benson's MMA IQ is very high. Not saying that Pitbull's isn't, because he is obviously, when you think of guys who have been in a bunch of wars in Bellator, his is one of the first that comes up. I'm taking Bendo, though. Both of them have both guys have seen extensive careers and extensively impressive opponents, but I'm going with my gut here. My gut is saying Benson Henderson in the main event. who you got before we put a ribbon on it and send it out into the interwebs?
Well, Big Jake, for Bellator 183, you know, as far as Aaron Pico goes versus Justin Lin, I'm going to have to go with Justin Lin just because he's actually won in the... He's won.
Oh, don't do it to him. He's actually 7-3.
He's 7-3. I mean, 7-3 statistically is infinitely better than 0-1.
Oh, no.
So I mean, just going on hype. I mean, you know, Aaron Pico, it's not good enough for me. I mean, I've never seen Justin Lin fight, but I've only seen Aaron Pico lose. So I know that Justin Lin has a winning record. I'm going to go with him to spoil Aaron Pico's sophomore effort in the Bellator fighting arena. Paul Daly versus Lorenz Larkin. This is going to be fairly off the hook, I'm certain. Both of these guys, zero interest on the ground game. This is just going to be a strike fest. Someone is likely getting knocked out. Ooh, as to who it is, flip a coin. I'm taking Lorenz Larkin to take out Paul Daly in this one. I don't know. I mean, Semtex, though, he can always reach that chin. Certainly not a technical slouch. And he's got the Semtex in his hands. Damn, it's going to be a good scrap. Lean in with Larkin, though. And, Jake, I'm also following your logic. Hoy Nelson over Javi Hu Ayala.
Lean in with Larkin, hanging with Hoy.
Got to do it, man. Got to do it. Sticking with the homies since day one.
Bending with Bendo?
I am not bending it with Bendo. I'm going with Patricky. You know why? Because he has a Y at the end of his first name, and that's really the only difference between him and me. Patrick and Patricky.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of pats.
So you know, also his brother Patricio. Been big fans of theirs since day one, since I want to say maybe 2010 I started watching them in Bellator, 2011 at the latest, and been rooting for them ever since. They're my distant Brazilian cousins, I like to think, always showing me love on the social media as I show them love and shout them out. I fox with the Pitbull brothers.
Are we talking to the third Pitbull brother right now? Or the fourth, I guess, if you... want to include Mr. International, Dale!
I mean, ooh, that young Chico Pitbull, I mean, I'll take an honorary, an honorary membership. But, you know, Patricky, he's very sound. He's very sound. Truly, I feel, and the Pitbull brothers, for me, have just been some of my favorite, more homegrown talent that Bellator has had over the years. You know, that's... They had fought in Brazil, I want to say, the majority of their careers before Bellator. And they've just always been so entertaining. Good scrappers, you know, very solid fundamentals all the way around. Great hands, great feet, good jits. And Patricky, man, he's got some hands himself. He is he's truly been one of the best in Bellator as well. So, you know, Bendo... I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know if he wants to swing them things with my boy Patrighi. Bendo certainly, I mean, he's crafty. Former UFC lightweight champion himself. Certainly one of the best at 155, too. It's going to be a great fight. But, man, I got to go with Patrighi in this one. That's my boy. That's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback. That's my teammate. I think that's all we got. Thank you for listening. We love you, but more importantly, we respect you. Pat, you got anything for the people before we let them go? This time, we promise it won't be for another few weeks. We will be back. I don't know. It'll be like a super short show next week, I guess, because all we really got is recapping this week's nonsense, and then we got a week off. the UFC. I think there is a Bellator we can talk about. And then we return October, I think, 7th or 8th. And that'll be that October 7th, that fun Ferguson Lee card. We got Lee, Ferguson, Borg, Johnson, a bunch of other fun-ass fights on that one. That'll be rolling up before we know it. And then we'll be getting into the thick of things. We got so many fights rolling up this fall. GSP coming back. We got Pettis Poirier. That's going to be a banger. Jorge Masvidal fighting Stephen Thompson. Can't wait to see Cody Garbrandt try and defend the strap against TJ Dillashaw. You got Anderson Silva, Kelvin Gastelum. Who knows if Connor will try and come back by December. You have a lot yet to be seen. They haven't even really started to mold that December 31st card. But by all reports I'm hearing, it's going to be awesome. Going to be an awesome final month close to the UFC and Bellator and the sport. And, I mean, just combat sports. In 2017, we still got another Crawford fight. We got Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux. That motherfucker's going to be off the chain. Pat, anything for the people before we let them go? Did I already do that and I have short-term memory loss?
You did not do that. You were about to toss it to me, but there you know what? Just
I got ahead of myself. I started ranting.
Nothing. Well, it's nothing but appreciation. Thanks to everybody listening, tweeting, calling in. Much appreciated. We love the shit out of you guys.
Blap, 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 blap. We'll see you soon, folks. Till then, we gone.